Well, this morning I want to talk to you about meditating on what God says. The word meditate means to think about something over and over and over again. And studies tell us that we talk to ourselves up to 30,000 times a day. Can you imagine? We talk to ourselves 30,000 times a day. You'd think we'd get tired of listening to ourselves. Well, we need to pay attention to what we're meditating on. Have you ever monitored what you think on each day? What are your thoughts telling you? What do you think about? What are the most prevalent thoughts in your mind day by day? So meditating is actually the same principle as worrying. Did you know that? Have you ever found that when it comes to worry, that worry will haunt you and preoccupy your thoughts more than anything else? When you're worrying, you're just meditating on the wrong thing. You're using your faith in reverse. And if you go through the day worried about your finances, worried about your family, worried about your future, because you're allowing the wrong thoughts to play, it's going to cause you to be anxious, fearful, negative, and discouraged. The whole problem is what you're choosing to meditate on. Beloved, you control the doorway to your mind. And when those negative thoughts come knocking, you don't have to answer the door. You can say, no thanks, I'm going to choose to meditate on what God says. And today, more than ever, there's a lot of doom and gloom. If you watch the news very long, you can get depressed. If it isn't news about the pandemic, it's news about global warming, harsh weather patterns, or racial hatred. A while ago, a report on the stock market in several newspapers contained the phrase, total fear in the marketplace. Total fear in the marketplace. Well, people were panicked because people draw their security and their well-being from having a good cash flow or a good cash reserve. So if you go through the day thinking about how bad it is, I wonder if I'm going to make it. And what if I lose my health? What if my retirement goes down? And if you dwell on that, you're going to be stressed out. I like to watch the news. I'm kind of a news guy. I just want to see the news. I want to find out what's happening. And I'm not saying that you have to hide your head in the sand, but I've learned not to meditate on the negative reports. It's so easy to do that. And it's been so easy for me to do that. And I'm just thankful that I'm learning this lesson to focus on the positive, to think on the things that are good. You know, Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's our responsibility. That's Paul's exhortation to the church at Philippi. And if you know anything about the church at Philippi, they had big problems. They were persecuted. They were impoverished. They were struggling for their daily bread. And here he's giving advice. Well, it's like, oh yeah, that's fine for you, Paul. Well, Paul's writing to them from a Roman prison. And so it's not cheap advice that he's giving them. He's a fellow struggler. He's suffering. And he says, look, don't focus on your suffering. Don't focus on your pain or your loneliness or all of the things that are troubling. You know, acknowledge the reality of those things. You know, acknowledge it, verbalize it to God and leave it with him. And then really fix your thoughts on what is true and upright and pure and lovely. Think about those things. Don't dwell on the negative. That's going to poison your spirit. Instead of replaying the doom and gloom over and over, replay what God says. And yes, the financial situation that you're facing or your health condition may be a little shaky, but God says he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. The scripture says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The scripture says that we can cast all our care upon him because he cares for you. So go through the day meditating on that. Get your mind going in the right direction. After all, the economy is not our source. God is our source. We may not know what all the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, and our trust is not in the stock market, not in the economy. not in material things. And I say it respectfully, not even in the government. Our trust is in the Lord. Now, I like what David said. He said, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. Now, the way this would be translated in modern days, he'd say, some trust in their money, some trust in their job, and some trust in what the economists say, but our trust is in the God who created it all. Our trust is in Jehovah Jireh. And that's a Hebrew word that means the Lord who is provider, or the Lord provides. Well, when you meditate on that, you won't have total fear. You'll have total peace. That's God's plan. You'll be at total rest. You know God's in control and he can give you total victory. But it all depends on what's going on in our thought life. You know, the scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You can meditate on the problem, or you can meditate on the promises. You can meditate on the news reports, or you can meditate on God's report. What you allow to play in your mind will actually determine your future. Do you believe that? God said in Isaiah 26:3, if you will keep your mind fixed on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. Do you believe that? If we keep our minds fixed on him, he will keep us in what kind of peace? Kind of a half-hearted peace, a mediocre peace, a pseudo peace? No, it says in the scripture, he'll keep you in a perfect peace. Think about the emotional energy that we waste on worry and anxiety and fear. Wouldn't it be nice to have perfect peace? That's God's plan for us. You know, remember that scripture, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I mean, that's the perfect peace, right? The peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Notice there's a way to have perfect peace. And Pastor Larry alluded to it this morning in his opening thoughts. It's to keep your thoughts fixed on him. And some of you would go to a new level if you pay more attention to what's playing in your mind. You know, the psalmist put it this way. It's like that buried treasure Pastor Larry is talking about. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? And isn't fear and anxiety, isn't that just an expression of a lack of faith or confidence in God? You can't go through the day thinking, I hope my child straightens up, and what's going to happen if I get laid off, or I might not overcome this illness. When you dwell on that, you're not going to have peace. Meditating on the problem doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. You've got to change what you're dwelling on. All through the day, go around thinking, God has me in the palm of his hand. All things are going to work together for my good and his glory, according to his promise in Romans 8:28 and 8:29. This problem didn't come to stay, it came to pass. The scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers me out of them all. See, it doesn't say we're not going to have problems, but it does say that the Lord is our deliverer. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our victory. When you meditate on that, you'll have greater peace, greater joy, greater strength. Now, the Apostle Paul understood this principle. He said, I've learned in whatever situation I find myself therein to be content. See, happiness, real joy, real peace starts in our thinking. Paul had been through a lot of disappointments. He'd been shipwrecked, put in jail, mistreated, yet he wasn't focused on his problems. He wasn't meditating on how bad it was, replaying all of his disappointments. No, he's the one that said, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. His mind was filled with thoughts of hope, thoughts of faith, and thoughts of victory. He was saying, it may look bad, but I've learned the secret of how to think. You see, the problem is that some people have thought themselves into depression. They focused on their problem so long, they thought themselves into discouragement. They've watched so many news reports, they thought themselves into fear. The good news is just as you can think yourself into discouragement, fear, and negativity, you can think yourself into joy when you meditate on God's word. You can think yourself into peace when you trust God as your Jehovah Jireh. You can even think yourself into a positive attitude when you remember, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, the scripture says, sing a new song. What song are you singing? I love that song. And in church, when we get back to church, sometimes I would stand up there and it was just in my heart, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I would sing that with so much enthusiasm because here we are as the family of God, worshiping God, enjoying his presence and each other, and we ought to rejoice. So we got to wake up from the depression that's kept you down. And you're a new creation, so awaken to that new life. He says all things are brand new. But the first place we have to awaken is in our thinking. You have to put on a new attitude. Don't go through the day thinking about your problems, dwelling on the mistakes and hurts of the past. That's going to keep you discouraged. Throughout the day, we should be thinking, God has a good plan for my life. Plans to prosper me, not to harm me. Plans to give me a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Like Joseph in the Old Testament, way back in Genesis, when he was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, carried off into a foreign land, falsely accused, placed in prison, and forgotten, but eventually promoted by God. And then with the very ones who threw him into the pit, his own brothers, he said, you know, what was meant for my harm, God's going to use for my advantage. My greatest victories are still in my future. Our purpose, think power thoughts. We ought to. Look at the power thoughts that Paul said. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because his strength is made perfect in weakness. Your weakness is not a liability when it comes to God's Holy Spirit. He likes it when we're weak, because then he gets to show his strength. And that's what Paul rejoiced in. He wasn't rejoicing in all his greatness and his own personal strength. He was rejoicing in the power of God at work in him. Here's another power thought. I'm secure because I'm fully accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1. I'm blessed because he's made me heir to every spiritual blessing. And when you wake up in the morning and those thoughts come and they're telling you, you don't want to go to work today. You've got so many problems. You've got so much coming against you. More than ever, you need to kick it into gear. This is going to be a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited about my future. God has good things in store for me today in spite of the trials I'll face. God is faithful to use my struggles to make me more like his precious son, Romans 8, 28 and 29. So here's the key. Don't ever start the day in neutral. How far would you get out of your driveway if you revved up your engine and never put the car in gear? When you start the morning, don't start the day in neutral. You can't wait to see what kind of day it's going to be. When you first get out of the bed in the morning, before you check the news, before you check the weather, before you check to see how you feel, you need to set your mind in the right direction. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you don't set your mind, the enemy will set it for you, or your own flesh will set it for you. He'll remind you of how bad you have it, how many mistakes you've made, and all the people that have come against you, on and on. We know that story, don't we? And very often, the way we start the day sets the tone for the kind of day we're going to have. If you start it negative, discouraged, complaining, you're setting the tone for a lousy day. You've got to get your mind going in the right direction. Your life is going to follow your thoughts. If you get up thinking, nothing good ever happens to me, I never get any breaks, I'll probably never get out of debt, I don't think my health will ever improve, you'll erode your confidence in God's ability to meet your needs. The scripture says, don't let the double-minded man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, the scripture says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, you become what you believe. If you're trusting God's promises, your faith is at work. If you believe your health is going to deteriorate, don't be surprised if it does. If you believe you don't have a purpose in life, it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to become what you believe. I'm asking you to believe what God says about you. Believe that you're blessed. Believe that you're being changed. Believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Get rid of the wrong thoughts that are contaminating your thinking and start meditating on what God says about you. Listen, if you'll meditate on God's word day and night, you'll be like the tree planted by the water. Your leaf will not wither, but you will bear fruit in every season without fail. Even if the economy goes down, you'll still be bearing fruit. Even when your health is not so good or loneliness is a constant problem, you'll still be bearing fruit. It means when others are going under, hey, you'll be going over. When others have total fear, you'll have total peace. When others are complaining, you'll have a song of praise. When others are surviving, you'll be thriving. Now, Psalm 1 has been a favorite of mine. And if you look at the first six verses, this is one of the passages early on that I memorized, and it's really shaped my thinking and helped me grow as a believer. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, producing fruit in due season, and whatsoever things he does, he will prosper. You know, in the Message, it translates this last portion of the scripture when it's talking about the tree being fruitful. Well, it says, when you meditate on God's word, you'll always be in blossom. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful promise in scripture? That's God's desire for your life, that you find contentment in every situation, that you live in peace, that you're excited about the future. And no, it doesn't mean that we'll not have difficult times, but in those difficult times, because you have your thoughts fixed on him, deep down, there'll be a confidence, a knowing that everything is going to be all right. Everything is working according to his purpose and plan for your life. You know God is still on the throne. He's fighting your battles. Yeah, we just sang about that. And you're not only going to come out, you're going to come out better off than you were before. I love the testimony of Paul and Barnabas when they were in prison for preaching the gospel, right? And they're singing songs of praise and thanksgiving. They're in shackles. They're hunched over. They're in complete and total darkness in that dungeon. Didn't have all the facilities that our modern correctional institutes have. And what were they doing? They were thanking God for their suffering. Thanking God for his purpose in their suffering. They were thanking God that their suffering was indication that they were serving him. And the scripture says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And they knew that God would bring a testimony out of their pain. Later that evening, an earthquake shook the prison and the cell doors flew open. The jailer thought his prisoners escaped and was prepared to end his life. Paul said, don't do that. Don't do that. We're still here. The jailer took them to his home that very night, and the jailer's entire family put their trust in Jesus. Later, Paul and Barnabas were released and went on their way rejoicing. That's what happens when you meditate on God's promises. It will carry you through those difficult times with a sense of hope, a sense of peace, and a sense of victory. You'll have peace when other people are falling apart. You'll discover God's purpose when the trials you're going through don't seem to make sense. Why is that? When your mind is filled with God's thoughts, and when you're walking in agreement with God's will for your life, that's talking about an obedient lifestyle, the creator of the universe goes to work on your behalf. God will cause his favor to shine down in you. Oh, we have received God's favor. He will cause your life to stand out in contrast to others who walk in darkness. He'll cause you to be at the right place at the right time. It's amazing how he does this. And he'll be providing for your needs and using your example to point others toward him. This week has been an emotional week for us. Our oldest son, Cole, packed up all his stuff and moved to the mainland over to Burnaby. He's got a beautiful one-bedroom suite. He's starting his job with FedEx on Monday morning, and he's preparing to do his schooling in BCIT in ultrasound technology. But we had lots of tears, and we had prayers of thanksgiving. And Cole recognized how God lined all of the circumstances up for him, provided him with a place where there was 50 other applicants, and they chose him over and above the others, provided him with a contact who was able to make the referral to the Burnaby FedEx, provided him with the finance and the means and other people that are there to support him. One thing after another, he just sees God's provision, and it's bolstering and building his faith. Now, he indicated he was going to be on this morning, and he may come on in a little while, but it's been a busy weekend, and he just left last night, so we may see him before the service is over. But the bottom line is, you're going to become what you believe. You know, what does the scripture say? For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? You become what you believe. So take inventory of what's playing in your mind. If you go around thinking, well, there's no hope for me, I'm afraid I'm never going to get well, I'm afraid my child's going to go off on the wrong path, your negativity is going to erode your confidence in God's ability to provide. Job said, the thing I feared came upon me. And just as our faith can work in the right direction, a negative attitude can work in the wrong direction. So the point is this: when we dwell on the negative rather than God's truth, our lives begin to move in the wrong direction. That's why the introduction this morning to our service is so important. We want to bury God's word in our heart. As the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, it's God's word that keeps us in a place of thanksgiving, a place of trust, a place of confidence, a place of positivity. I don't want to be moving in the wrong direction. You know, I heard about a woman who bought a beautiful ficus plant for her house, and she spent some good money on it, but she was concerned it wouldn't survive. And every time she looked at it, the only picture that she could paint was a negative outcome. And apparently she didn't have a green thumb. Well, a short while later, the leaves began to turn yellow and the plant began to die. And she told her husband, "I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think I killed this plant with my thoughts." He looked at her very strangely and said, "All I can say is I hope you're thinking good thoughts about me." Well, that's a humorous story to illustrate a much deeper truth. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Now, this verse doesn't imply that you can ask God to help you win the lottery. Instead, it means we can pray according to his word, according to his will, and he will accomplish everything he has promised in scripture. So pay attention to what's playing in your mind. Here's what I've learned. If you'll fill your mind with the right thoughts, there won't be any room for the wrong thoughts. When you go around constantly thinking, "I'm accepted in the beloved, I'm greatly loved, I'm heir to every spiritual blessing, God is causing all things to work together for my good and his glory," then when the negative thoughts come knocking on your door, there'll be a no vacancy sign. Sorry, no room for you. I remember I was coming back from grad school, And I was driving through Sacramento, and I was at a gas station and witnessed a woman being assaulted, and myself and a couple of other two other travelers who were stopping at the gas station intervened. In the process, we rolled around on the ground, and this man was cut and bleeding, who was assaulting the woman. And in that little foray, I got covered with whatever the grime was on the ground and blood. And I thought, man, all I want to do right now is find a hotel after the police came and arrested the guy. I want to find a hotel and shower off and have a good sleep, because I still have a long ways to get back to BC. Well, what do you think happened? I went from hotel to hotel to hotel, and every one of them said, sorry, no vacancy, no vacancy. You know, I showed up, man, I'm looking tattered, you know, because I got kind of roughed up in the fight, and I'm covered in blood. And I can understand they don't want this sorry sight coming into their hotel. But it wasn't that. It was a Shriners convention. And every hotel in the whole city was booked. And I gave up looking for hotels. So I remember I went to a Walmart, parked in the back lot beside a green dumpster, and slept there for the night, and then drove the rest of the way back home the following day. So it's sorry, no vacancy. That's how it is when you keep your mind filled with God's word. When that negative thought or feeling of fear comes knocking and it says, you're not going to make it. The problem is too big. Let me in. Give me a room to stay. No, just like the hotel manager, say, sorry, fear, no vacancy. No room for you. You're going to have to go somewhere else to stay. Sorry, no vacancy. Remind yourself that God's favor surrounds you like a shield, right? It's the shield of faith, right? Shield of faith. And when that troubling voice whispers, you'll never get well. Have you seen the medical report? No vacancy. God has me in the palm of his hand, and his will shall be accomplished in my life in spite of any sickness. Well, when you've seen your best days, you may as well give up, right? That's what your thoughts are telling you? No vacancy. This hotel, this mind is filled with thoughts of faith and hope and victory, abundance, restoration, healing. There's no room for doubt, unbelief, anxiety, fear, and depression. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now that's ironic. Jesus had no material possessions to speak of, but he lived in the abundance of God's loving presence and divine provision. You need to take inventory of who's staying in your house, who's occupying your rooms. If you give fear a room, then faith gets left outside. There's not room for both. If you give I can't a room, then I can is left outside. If you give I'll never make it a room, then God's abundance is left at the door. Get rid of the wrong thoughts and let what God says guide your thoughts. The only way you can rid your mind of all that negativity is to fill it with God's positivity. I love 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for sound teaching, right thinking, and holy living, so that the man or woman of God can be thoroughly equipped to do every good thing that the Lord has called us to. When you go to bed at night, you lock the doors to your house. The other night, we had two dark figures running through our property, 1:30 in the morning, and they came up and they pounded on the door. It wasn't too long after we saw several police cars in the neighborhood. Unfortunately, I slept through the whole incident, but Cole and everyone else was up. And our doors were locked, right? We didn't want any strangers coming in. That's where you live. That's your home. You need to have that same thinking when it comes to your mind. This is who I am. This is my future. I'm not going to let just any thought come in and have a permanent home. I'm going to guard the doorway to my mind and only give a room to the thoughts of hope, thoughts of faith, thoughts of victory, thoughts of God's loving kindness. I've heard it put like this. If you own an apartment complex and you rented out 80% of the apartments to drug dealers, thieves, cheaters, and the other 20% to normal law-abiding citizens, After a few months, the drug dealers and cheaters would run off all the normal people. Get the point? Same way in our thoughts. If you go around thinking how bad it is, dwelling on your problems, all that you don't have, how tough your future is going to be, all those negative thoughts are going to run off any positive thoughts. You've got to quit renting out space in your mind to your problems. Quit renting out valuable space to self-pity. Don't rent it out to can't do it, not going to happen thoughts. You only have so much space in your mind. Some of you today, you need to serve an eviction notice. Tell those negative thoughts, you've occupied my rooms long enough. I've got my new renter, and he is faith, joy, peace, and love. My new tenant is victory. It's like my son moving into his new apartment. The people there are so happy to have him because they've had like two or three other nightmares with tenants that didn't work out. And now Cole is there, and it's a fresh face. It's a kind face. It's a dependable face. It's a trustworthy faith. All I'm saying is don't dwell on those negative things. Don't let it consume you where that's all you think about, all you talk about. Learn to downplay it. And more importantly, as the scripture says, willfully, volitionally, intentionally, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Now, do you remember the story when Jesus was headed off to pray for a good friend named Lazarus? His friend was very sick, but Jesus kept getting delayed. Finally, some of the friends of Lazarus came back and said to the disciples of Jesus, well, look, tell Jesus he doesn't need to bother. Tell him he doesn't need to come any longer. It's too late. The person has already died. The scripture says, Jesus overheard what they said, but ignoring. In other words, Jesus heard the negative reports, but he didn't let it take root. He didn't meditate on it. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't turn around and go back home. No, he knew people don't have the final say. God has the final say. Sometimes in order to stay in faith, you have to ignore a negative report. You have to ignore what somebody said about you. You have to ignore what your own thoughts are telling you. You may hear it, but you can do like Jesus and choose not to dwell on it. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge those things. It's important to acknowledge the issues and the struggles and the pain. Otherwise, that's just denial. But what we do is we bring it to a loving God who knows us better than we know ourselves. And God loves honesty more than anything else. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling concerned about your future or your health or your finances or whatever it might be, or if you're upset in a relationship, bring that before God. Have your cathartic moment like Psalm 102, where the psalmist just poured out his plate to the Lord. But in Psalm 103, there's a glorious reversal in his attitude, because then he comes to the point where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Isn't that cool? You know, when God called Dixie and I to start this church, and we want to say thank you, a shout out to all our leaders that started this church with us, every thought in my mind told me, Travis, you can't do this. You've never done a church plant before. No one's going to come. You're going to look like a fool. You know, I heard those thoughts, but I chose not to dwell on them. I chose not to let them determine our action, what we were going to do. I meditated on, I can do all things through Christ. I'm strong in the Lord. And if this is God's will, he will bring it to pass. If God is for me, who can be against me? You see, when you walk in agreement with God's will, you will fulfill your God-given destiny. When we're trying to acquire, we were meeting here in our home, having a Bible study with a few of our close friends, and we were looking to acquire our beautiful worship center at Rest Haven, those negative thoughts began to whisper, it's not going to happen. You're wasting your time. You're not going to get into that building. I heard the reports, but I let them go in one ear and out the other. I didn't give them the power that they demanded. If I had, we wouldn't have the beautiful facility that we have for worship that we've been in now. We're just completing 14 years. In December, we'll be starting our 15th year. See, that's why faith is so critical in terms of fulfilling God's plan for your life. I remember when we were teenagers, we heard this thing. It said, talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. That meant you're talking, but I'm not listening. That's what we need to do when the negative thoughts come. In your imagination, just put out your arm and say, talk to the hand because my heart ain't listening. You're talking, but I'm not hearing you. You're trying to rent a room, but I'm telling you, no vacancy here. Now, those of you know, I love watching football. I was watching a football a couple of seasons ago, and it was the playoffs, and a very important game, and there was only a few seconds left on the clock. And the visiting team was down by 2 points, and they were about to attempt a field goal to win the game. The kicker was on the field, lining up, getting ready for the biggest kick of his life. And the opposing fans were hollering at him, screaming, jeering, trying to distract him just as he was about to kick the ball. And just as he was about to kick the ball, the other team called a timeout to give the fans more time to intimidate him and more time for him to get nervous about making the field goal. They started playing in the stadium on the big screen all the times this particular kicker had missed in previous games. They replayed all of his failures, and every time he missed on the Jumbotron, the whole crowd with 80,000 people began to scream against him. What happened? After all the noise subsided, he stepped up and kicked the ball right through the uprights and won the game. Afterwards, a reporter asked him how he could handle the pressure with so many thousands of people screaming against him. And he said, you know, it's kind of funny. I didn't hear anybody screaming. I just kept telling myself, you can do this. You've got what it takes. Well, the reporter said, well, what about on the big screen when they were replaying all your failures? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I saw that, but I didn't pay any attention. I just ignored it. What a great illustration for how we should deal with those negative thoughts. You know, in life, there'll be times when it feels like every voice is telling you, you can't do it. It's not going to work out. You'll never overcome this problem. It may be physical voices, people around you, critics, naysayers, people in your own home or your own family. Or it may just be voices in your mind, your own thoughts trying to discourage you. Don't be surprised even if the enemy starts replaying your failures. Has he ever done that to you? He's done that to me a lot. Replaying the times that you've missed it, replaying all your disappointments, all the embarrassing moments, the things that you wish you'd never said. Listen, you've got to dig your heels in. You may hear the negative reports, but choose to ignore it. People don't determine your destiny, God does. And if you'll walk in agreement, in harmony, in obedience with God's will, and not let those distractions pull you off course, let me tell you, God will get you where he wants you to be. Beloved, the first place we lose the victory is in our own thinking. You may feel like 80,000 voices are screaming against you saying, it's never going to work out. This problem is too big. You might as well just settle where you are. No, put your hand out. Tell those negative thoughts. Talk to the hand. They want to rent a room. Show them the no vacancy sign. And if you keep your thoughts fixed on what God says, you'll overcome those obstacles and accomplish God's purpose in your life. Now, that's what it says in Joshua. It says, if you will meditate on God's word day by day, day and night, you will prosper and have good success. See, the whole key is what's going on in your thought life. What are you meditating on? Make a decision with me that you're going to keep your thoughts fixed on what God says. On purpose, think those positive thoughts. I'm accepted in the beloved. Heir to every spiritual blessing, salt and light in Christ, strong when I'm weak. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And 1 Peter says, the Father has given me everything, everything pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. This morning, we've been considering a key question about how the Lord works in our lives. If God's word is the foundation of our faith and the source of our spiritual growth, how do we get the most out of it? The answer is meditation. Meditation. Now, many spiritual gurus would agree that meditating plays an important role in Bible study and spiritual growth, but their concept of meditation is far broader and more introspective than what the Bible calls for, and it has very little to do with actually studying scripture. Many of them encourage believers to meditate on creation or their own imaginations or their own subjective interpretations of verses or excerpts of verses, regardless of their biblical context. Let me give you this advice. When you are meditating on God's scripture, dwell on fixed eternal truth. Modern forms of meditation focus on what a verse or passage means to the individual and what kind of application he can come up with on his own. It's an interpretive free-for-all where people come up with their own meanings, regardless of biblical context. Instead of coming up with our own ideas, we need to understand that God's truth is immutable. It never changes. And that mystical approach falls far short of the command in Deuteronomy 6-7, which reads, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." In other words, the Lord wants his people to absorb his truth and running it around in their minds constantly. And when you're faithfully reading and studying God's word, it's easy to keep his truth on your mind throughout your day. A vacant mind is easily caught up in daily distraction. Whether it's the allure of temptation or simply a time-wasting departure, failing to dwell on scripture means you're subject to the interruptions and enticements of the world. Instead, we need to be like the man we read about in Psalm 1, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both night and day. The psalmist makes clear the benefits of that kind of devotion to God's word. He'll be like a tree, what? Planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And it does not wither, and in whatever he does, it prospers. So like the cow in its cud, remember, we had cows in our pasture. They would just constantly regurgitate whatever it was that was in one of their stomachs. Believers need to routinely go over God's word in their minds. It's not enough to read it once and walk away. We need to absorb its truth, dwell on its implication for our lives. That's true biblical meditation, and it's a vital part of how the Lord works through his life, his truth in your life. So remember, you're going to become what you believe. Get up every morning, set your mind in the right direction. Don't meditate on the problem, meditate on the promises. Learn to dwell on the fullness of his love, dwell on the fullness of his peace, dwell on the fullness of his victory. Victory starts in our thinking, and if you'll develop this habit of meditating on what God says, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a perfect peace. You'll always be in blossom. You'll prosper. You'll have good success. And I believe you'll overcome every obstacle and defeat every enemy. You're going to become everything that God's created you to be. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us through your word. Your word, as the psalmist says, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Father, your word, the scripture says, is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the innermost parts of our very being. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Your word is a source of strength and power. It's the sword of the spirit, your word. You've commanded us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, rejoicing with thanksgiving in our hearts unto the Lord. That's the power of God's word today. I pray that every heart, every person hearing this message today would receive it and apply it through the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.